I want to read to you a passage from Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's important for us to have the correct apostles' doctrine, to preach the truth as revealed in God's word. It's important for us to pray regularly and consistently. It's also important that we observe the Lord's Supper, which is, after all, one of the principal reasons why the church meets on Sunday. The disciples gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread, the book of Acts tells us. But what about fellowship? Do we really take that seriously? And is that really all that important, as is prayer, the observance of the Lord's Supper, and the other things that the church did? Well, I tell you, the early church thought it was important. And they continued every day, it says, to meet together in the temple courts for some time. Not just on Sunday or Wednesday nights. Every day they met together. Now that was the beginning of the church, and naturally there was great enthusiasm. The people were a long way from home who were there on Pentecost Day, and they had time, but they were enthusiastic about the new fellowship that they had formed when the Church of the Lord came to be a reality. And I want to tell you, I think the fellowship in the church is one great part of living the Christian life. I've often said it would be almost impossible to live the Christian life by yourself. You ever thought about that? It means so much to be a part of a fellowship. People who believe as you believe, who have the same interests you have, and the same attitudes that you have. And yet, we live in a disjointed society. We live in a world that is separated and divided. And we ourselves are pulled here and there. Time, demands on our time are made on the right hand and to the left. When Sarah and I moved to Mobile some 10 years ago, we had 7 grandchildren in school at Mobile Christian School. And I want to tell you, it was a real challenge for us to make every activity those 7 kids were involved in. Ball games and plays and Grandparents' Day, just on and on. You get busy, even though you are, as the little boy said about his grandpa, he's retarded. Well, we didn't retard when we moved to Mobile. We're still just as busy as we can be. And I wonder, how in the world did I ever have time to work and earn my paycheck working? When did I ever find time to do that? But to make the story short, we are all busy. Some of you still have full-time jobs. You're limited in the number of things you can do. There are others who are involved in school. That takes a lot of time, doesn't it, young people? And we all have our loyalties and our obligations in the various clubs or organizations that we are associated with. There are just so many demands on our time, we run out of time sometimes. And I think one of the things that suffers the most in this busy life that we live in is our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. We are always trying to find ways to get more people involved in the fellowship, in the activities of the church, because we believe fellowship is one of the center points of our Christian life. The 1970s, I've read, are referred to as the me decade. The 80s were called the greed decade. Materialism took over. People became more self-centered than ever. A lot of distrust. We are in a society that moves continuously. I remember reading a statistic not long ago said that the average home, the average home owner owns that house for an average of 7 years. Then he's gone again, moving. Now that makes some folks that are involved in the real estate business happy, and that's fine, but it does tell us we're constantly on the go. And it's hard to put down roots when you're always moving. And it's hard to get involved to any extent if you realize you're only going to be around for a while. So there are many challenges to our efforts to try to build the fellowship that is so important as we live the Christian life. That word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonē. Now, I know you probably don't speak much Greek. I don't either. But that word is important. It's found 12 times in the New International Version of the Bible, 15 times in the King James Version. The King James Version uses at least twice a compound form of that word, and then another word that conveys the same idea of koinonia, fellowship. That's the most common translation of that word. But it's used in so many different ways, even in Scripture. It's used as a fellowship, a joint participation. I think that's the technical and lexiconical definition of that word. Joint participation. That means that we are involved in the same activity. We just had a meeting of the elders of the church here, and I have a confession to make on the part of all of us, all three of us at the present time. We're not perfect. I hate to tell you that. We make mistakes. We don't always do the right thing. But I'll guarantee you one thing. We're doing the best we know how. We would like to be perfect. We're just as scriptural and just as conscientious as we know how to be, but we're still human, and we're going to make mistakes. So let me just, as a side point here, ask and beg for your patience. And anytime you want to talk with any of us, feel free to call upon us. You can schedule a meeting with us just about any time you want to. We're open. We're not a board of directors. We are not a judge and jury. I know that the Bible says that elders have authority and that the members are supposed to submit to that. Personally, I never think about that part of it. I think I'm part of a fellowship. We're all in this together. Sometimes elders, because of the scriptural teaching, must make certain decisions. Other times, tradition and our own system of church polity leaves to the elders to make certain decisions on behalf of the entire congregation. That's just the way it is. But we do the best we can. And we want to promote the idea of fellowship. We're all in this together. We're all dedicated to the same purpose of building the body of Christ. Hopefully, with all of the unity and love that we can gender. Fellowship. That means working together. It means being sensitive to one another's needs. It means feeling a kinship and being involved in a common enterprise or experiment, however you want to characterize it. So I want to talk with you tonight about fellowship. One of the great things that we enjoy in fellowship is what the early church did. According to Acts chapter 2, they ate together. Now that's not all of fellowship, but that's a part of it. An important part of it. In the Bible world, when you ate with a man, you felt close to him. And it said something about you when you ate with certain people. And the church picked up on this idea. And the church is composed of people who enjoy being together. Now, the eating, to me, is incidental. It's the getting together that is the focus of our eating together. The early church had what were called love feasts. These are mentioned at least a couple of times in the scriptures. We know that they enjoyed being together. And they ate on those occasions many times. In the morning, we're going to have an occasion when some men get together for a men's prayer breakfast. And Ken Grisham is going to bring the breakfast in the morning. And I think I can speak for Ken that he would like for you to be there. This is an occasion of fellowship when we get together and enjoy being with brothers in Christ. And we have what we call occasionally a conundrum. Now that term came to be a part of our meeting because of Richard Lincoln. He would bring to our attention some question from the Bible, a spiritual question, a Bible question. Maybe something that's a little difficult to understand. And that's what a conundrum is. It's something that is deep and deserves discussion. And we sometimes have some very spirited discussions. And I have a conundrum I'm going to present in the morning, unless someone beats me to it. But I guarantee you, if you come, you're going to be delighted to hear the discussion about this question that I propose to the group. That's one time of fellowship. When the church meets together for a potluck dinner, that's an occasion when we can enjoy the fellowship of one another. And I wish that every member could be there. They've had them everywhere I've ever been. And we always say, visitors stay, there'll be plenty of food. And there always is. Sometimes people say, well, I didn't prepare, I didn't bring anything, so Well, don't worry about it. Your presence is the most important thing, not what you might bring. That's fellowship. That's important for members of the church. But now, as I've mentioned, that's not the only good thing about fellowship. Fellowshipping together causes people to be drawn together. I think it was about the first week, the first Sunday, that Sarah and I were here in Mobile. Earl and Mildred Nelson invited us to go with them over to a restaurant for a meal. I'll never forget sitting there with Earl and Mildred. Made an impression on me, and I loved and admired them as long as they lived. Eating together has something that encourages our fellowship and our togetherness. We don't invite one another into our homes as we once did. I remember we had a young man come to Tiptonville who was single, lived by himself out in this nice house. And I said, "Jerry, one of these nights, you know, we've not gotten had much occasion to get acquainted. I'm going to come out to your house and visit with you along about supper time and surprise you." He said, "Well, that's fine, but if you come for supper, you're going to be the one surprised," as he didn't cook for himself. But eating together gives us an opportunity to visit and to form a relationship and get to know one another better. And that's the reason why we have occasions for fellowship. And we ought to take advantage of everyone that's available for us. There are many other occasions when I've been impressed with the power of influence and eating together. Years ago, we lived in Naples, Italy, and Naples is a seaport, and we had young men come into port on naval ships. And sometimes there was at least one Christian boy on board, and chances are he would bring two or three of his buddies to our worship service on Sunday morning. He made it a point to find the fellowship where he knew he would be welcome and those with him. And time after time, Sarah would prepare a little more spaghetti or whatever she had, and we'd invite those boys home with us. 20 or 30 years later, I don't remember exactly the chronology, 20 or 30 years later, I received a letter from that young man, and he thanked me again for the hospitality that we showed him and his buddies. Made an impression on them. And I believe, if I remember correctly, one of the fellows that came with him was not a member of the church, but he was converted by that young man. Don't know how much our fellowship had to do with that, but it's a powerful thing in the lives of people. Why do you think the church grew? Why do you think that the Lord added every day to the church those who were being saved? Because people wanted to be a part of that fellowship. That's one reason. I've had men through the years come to me and say, "Glenn, I've been attending church here for some time. I love the people. I believe what you preach. What do I need to do to be a part, a member of this church?" He had received the right hand of fellowship. You can fellowship anybody. People outside the fellowship of the saints. And that's a powerful influence in the lives of people. Paul even warned about having fellowship with unbelievers. He warned about it. But Jesus ate with unbelievers. He ate with publicans and sinners. And he said, those that are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Fellowship is a real powerful tool in winning people to Christ. And we ought to make our fellowship one that people are dying to join. Now, you don't join the church. You can't do that. But you can obey the gospel and be added to God's family by the Lord Himself. You can become a part of the local body of Christ and enjoy that fellowship with one another. There are many duties and possibilities in fellowship. I have just a few that I want to bring to your attention. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. What happens in fellowship? We teach and we admonish one another. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. That's what fellowship is, serving one another as well as serving our Lord. How do you serve God? How do you serve Christ? Except by serving others. That's fellowship. These people in Acts chapter 2 realized the power of eating together, and they kept on doing it day after day. And I believe that's a part of the secrets of the success of the early church. It grew by leaps and bounds because people wanted that fellowship that they saw amongst the believers. Fellowship also means being involved in one another's life. I know we don't like to be nosy. We don't like to be pushy. We don't like to impose upon people. But we do need to make them feel a part of our lives and invite them to be a more intimate part of our life. Sometimes it might mean inviting people over to your house. When I was a younger preacher, particularly before Sarah and I married, when I spoke to a congregation of people, I said, now, I don't know you very well, but I'll tell you one thing I've found, the best way to get to know somebody is to sit down at the dinner table with them. And my schedule is open. I was joking, of course, but there's a lot of truth in that. You learn a lot about people when you sit down to visit with them as you eat. They might not want to get together and sit down and talk about their lives and your life and everything that's of concern to them, but around the table, in the informality of a home, sometimes people express themselves and make some decisions that you might not believe. It happens time and time again. So fellowship is a wonderful blessing that we enjoy. It's also a powerful tool in our service to God and to one another. But as important as fellowship is, it's not really the most valuable and most important concern that we have. Our most important concern is to be a part of a family. And that is the family of God. And if you're a part of the family of God, then you automatically are accepted into the fellowship. What does it mean to be a member of God's family? Well, you can't join it. My kids didn't join my family. They were born into it. That's the only way you can get into the kingdom of God, the church. You have to be born into it by that new birth that Jesus taught Nicodemus about in John chapter 3. Jesus said, "No man can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again, born of the water and of the Spirit." That simply means obeying the gospel and being baptized. That makes you a brother or a sister in Christ. It also makes you a part of the fellowship of the saints. That's a very precious thing. If you haven't availed yourself of that blessing tonight, we hope and pray that you will. If you've not been involved as you ought to be in the fellowship, and you feel like you have let the Lord down, you might have disappointed your brothers and sisters in Christ by not being more careful to cultivate and to encourage that feeling of fellowship and togetherness. If there's sin in your life, we hope and pray you'll deal with it tonight. And let us pray with you that you might be forgiven of every sin. Come while we stand and sing.